Hello, welcome to Refreshing Truth, the weekly podcast for River of Life Lutheran Church here in Goodyear, Arizona. My name is Pastor Lincoln Albrecht, and God's word for our consideration on this, the final Sunday of the church year, is from Luke chapter 23. We read beginning in verse 35, the account of the crucifixion of our Christ. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others, let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." This is the gospel of Christ, our King. Mercy, peace, and love are yours in abundance through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In 4 days, all kinds of people across our nation and expats in far-flung places will pause for a time and give thanks. In 4 days, the most wide-eyed child and the crustiest old cynic will both agree that they have reasons to be grateful. Even more surprisingly, perhaps, there will be those who deny the very existence of any God, and yet they will still pause and reflect on the good things that they enjoy in this life, and they will celebrate Thanksgiving. While they may not praise the God from whom all good and perfect blessings flow, they will still, for a moment, recognize that they are not directly responsible for generating all of the good things that they enjoy in this life. But maybe that practice should not surprise us. People are increasingly embracing the importance of expressing gratitude. Harvard University health experts have identified a strong and consistent association between expressing gratitude and personal happiness, improved physical health, increased emotional resiliency, and stronger relationships. Who wouldn't want all those things? At the same time, it's not just psychologists tucked away on Harvard's campus who are making these observations and incorporating the practice of gratitude. Some of the most influential voices in society, celebrities, athletes, thinkers, make it a point each day to express their gratitude. Again and again, we hear from our world that being grateful is a good choice. Choice and gratitude are very closely linked in our culture. Our modern celebration of Thanksgiving is remarkably choice-centric. Now, maybe for much of your life, Thanksgiving at your house strived for that Norman Rockwell ideal. You know, the family gathered around the finer things like fine linens and china, everybody wearing their best clothes, flashing their best smiles until that plump and perfect turkey is placed on the table. Then the man of the house grabs the carving knife and fork, even if he had nothing to do with preparing the bird, and slices it up for everyone to enjoy. Today, many Thanksgivings look nothing like Norman Rockwell's ideal. The dress code and the dressing have gone by the wayside. Don't like your turkey? Sub in something you do like. Don't enjoy time with your family? Well, replace them with people you do like and call it Friendsgiving. Choose your own menu. Choose your own guest list. But choose to be grateful. Of course, there is nothing wrong with intentional expressions of gratitude. Nor is there anything wrong with choosing to eat tofu with friends instead of turkey with your family. If Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath, surely we can say the same thing about the human tradition of setting aside a Thursday in November for giving thanks. But there is a danger when gratitude is founded on our choice. Will we still be grateful when our dinner plates, our guest lists, our homes and our lives are filled with things and people we would not or did not choose? Will we still be overwhelmed with gratitude when our plans and preferences are ignored or even defied? How will we react and respond when God's choices don't align well with our choices? See, that's one of the things going on here in our gospel reading from Luke 23. I'll admit, it feels like a bit of a strange choice to concentrate on Christ's crucifixion so close to Thanksgiving. But while it may feel like a strange choice at first to us, it is exactly what we need at exactly the right time. As Luke brings us to Calvary's mournful mount, he moves us from the outskirts of this execution to the foot of the cross methodically. He begins with the people in the crowd. He tells us they stood watching it all unfold. Some with grief, others perhaps with a morbid curiosity. The other gospel writers tell us that passersby did hurl insults at him, but Luke doesn't make any mention of it. Now, the abuse that Luke does highlight comes from three other people or groups of people. The first, the Jewish rulers, the second, the Roman soldiers, and the third, this co-crucified criminal. Their insults were all a little bit different, yet really the same. Luke tells us the Jewish rulers sneered that Jesus was once famous for saving others, but now in this moment when he was the one who needed saving, he was, in their view, powerless to save himself. They sneered at him. How could God's Messiah, the Lord's anointed one, be left to suffer and die so shamefully? The Roman soldiers didn't care about any of that. They had no concept of God anointing people for particular tasks or roles, but when they saw the charge that was written above Jesus' head, King of the Jews, they were flabbergasted. This man is your king, Israel? Where are his loyal subjects? Where are his armies? Where is his power? They made a point of demonstrating his powerlessness. As they flogged him, they mocked his claim to royalty. They put a scarlet robe on him, twisted together a crown of thorns, and put a staff in his right hand, making him look like a bloody mess of a king. An imposter. And they taunted him. Kneeling before him, they mocked him by saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Then they spit on him and took the staff they put in his right hand and struck him on the head again and again. They made a point of not just abusing him, but embarrassing him. And when they led him out to be crucified, they didn't find the support they maybe expected. There were women who were weeping for him, but no brave men who came to his rescue. And as he suffered on the cross, Jesus continued to seem more weak and powerless than so many of the men they executed. "If you are a mighty king," they mocked, "prove it." Even one of the criminals who was under the same sentence joined in on the blasphemy. Since the Romans typically only crucified slaves and pirates and religious and political rebels, we can assume that this man fell into that latter category. Yet even in these excruciating moments, he was unimpressed by Jesus. With his dying breaths, he kept on blaspheming the Son of God. You're supposed to be my Messiah? Get us down if you're God's son. today. With the benefit of a couple thousand years of hindsight and the Holy Spirit's gift of faith in Jesus as our Savior, it's relatively easy for us to look with scorn on all those who scorned our Savior. But those two gifts, hindsight and faith, should also grant us insight into times and situations when we think, talk, and act in strikingly similar and shameful fashions. Now, you and I may not sneer at Jesus as the Jewish rulers did, but when God does not appear the way that we think he should, when he doesn't do what we expect, do we question him? Do we get frustrated when our good behavior isn't rewarded with more blessings? Do we assume that those who are struggling or suffering have made bad choices in their lives and now are just getting what they really deserve? We may not mock Jesus like the Roman soldiers did, but are we ever disappointed in how weak he looks in our world? Do we think less of God's power when we see so many mock him, so many of his followers desert him, and God seemingly does so little? Do we always honor his word and sacraments as his precious means of grace, his power to save placed in our hands? You and I may not offer the Son of God sour wine vinegar, but do we give God our leftovers? Whatever we determine we can do without or won't miss too much, or do we give him our very best? You and I may not hurl insults at God out loud like that criminal, but when God does not do exactly as we expect in our darkest moments, in our seasons of suffering, times of pain, do we question his power and his love? Do we get angry when our proximity to God does not prevent us from experiencing sadness or suffering? Thankfully, Luke does not leave us with only the sneering, the mocking, and the blasphemous taunts of the rulers, the soldiers, and the criminal. No, Luke continues to bring us closer to our Christ to hear his final conversation before he died. You see, there was one more criminal. Another man who had very likely rebelled against Rome. And as he looked at himself, he recognized that even though he was experiencing excruciating pain and a shameful execution, he was actually being punished justly. What he had done in this life deserved this kind of end, this kind of death. But he recognized the man who hung in between him and the other criminal was different. He had done nothing wrong. And in and of itself, this is a remarkably strange thing for this man to say. How could he be certain that this complete stranger, this man whom so many hated and even rejoiced over his execution, had done nothing wrong? Maybe we tell ourselves maybe he had heard of Jesus before this day. We have no way of being sure. What we do know is that he heard Jesus tell the mourning women of Jerusalem not to weep for him, but for themselves and what was about to happen to Jerusalem in short order. We do know that this criminal heard Jesus pray for those who were putting him to death, "Father, forgive them, they know not what they are doing." This man, who was being crucified by his side, chose to use his dying breaths to comfort those who were mourning for his death and pray that his executors might be forgiven. This man chose to love those who hated him without reason. And those words, that life, his witness, made an impact. This criminal saw nothing but grace. So he made an undeserved request. To the man that the Jewish rulers rejected, to the man that the Roman soldiers mocked, to the man who was counted among the worst of the criminals of his day, this man made this request: "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." What an astonishing ask. In this moment, this man was confessing two things. I am getting what I deserve as I die here on this cross, but Jesus, you don't deserve this. And this is not your end. I know that you are about to enter into your kingdom, and when you get there, remember me, Lord, as you remembered Noah and Abraham and Samson. You see, when the rulers, the soldiers, and the other criminal looked at the placard above Jesus' head, they focused on the pronouncement, King of the Jews. What they saw beneath that placard did not match what they expected God's chosen one to look like or do. Jesus resembled nothing like a powerful king or the Messiah that Israel thought they had been waiting for generations. But what this believing criminal saw was Jesus, the one who throughout his life bore the name the Lord Saves, the one who was born and given the name Jesus because he would save his people from their sins. What this criminal saw was the one who died because of the sins of others. What this criminal believed in was the one who lives and reigns in heaven, seated on the throne at the right hand of the Father. The Father who chose him for this purpose and this path for his Son. This is the Jesus he requested. Remember him. Jesus is the one who came to save lawbreakers like this man, was crucified by his side, and all of those who have fallen short of the glory of God, like you and me. Jesus came to save those who deserve the death wages of their wicked ways, who have rebelled not against Rome, but against their maker and their preserver. Jesus came to earn the forgiveness that he prayed for. On the cross, he paid the penalty for our trespasses. On the cross, he remembered all of God's promises and loved all those who hated God and his ways without reason. The man who did nothing wrong throughout his entire life did everything necessary to open a portal to paradise for you and me. And now, because he died in our place, the grave has no sting. Death has no power. It has become the gateway to eternal life. And that, my brothers and sisters, is why we give thanks. Not merely because giving thanks makes us feel better for a little while, or live a little longer, or have happier lives. No, we don't just give thanks for a day. As believers, we strive to remember to give thanks every single day because we know that God's chosen one chose to remember us, chose to fulfill all God's promises, chose to do everything necessary to redeem us from all of our sins. God's chosen one chose to save sinners like us instead of saving himself. And so we give thanks. Because we know that if God chose to graciously give up his Son as our substitute and our Savior, how will he not also, along with this Jesus, graciously give us all that we need for life in this world? We are filled with gratitude because we know that God has not only saved us from eternal damnation and blessed us with our daily bread, but also has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For God chose us in Jesus to be his own beloved children. And so the redeemed give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Because we know what his love has done. We know what his love still does. And we know that his love endures now and forever. Amen. Thank you for listening to Refreshing Truth, the weekly podcast for River of Life Lutheran Church here in Goodyear, Arizona. My name is Pastor Lincoln Albrecht, and it's been a pleasure to share the good news of Christ crucified for sinners like you and me with you this morning. If you'd like to learn more about what we believe and teach here at River of Life, if you'd like to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in person, I invite you to visit our website, azriveroflife.com. On our website, you'll find ways to get involved with our ministry, support the work that God is doing through us, and grow in the grace and knowledge of the God who loved us, who chose not to save himself so that he might save sinners like us. May God continue to bless and keep you, and happy Thanksgiving.